This time not as Netlek but as yourself. This is the Select Committee on Labor and Public Enterprises. And we have the interest of provinces. I am Priscilla Temba, the chairperson of this committee, and I represent Mpumalanga in the National Council of Provinces. Members will introduce themselves. Those who will be joining us, because as I told you, that in the NCOP we are really so stretched, and the others are still in other meetings. So as they come in, I will just introduce themselves from the chair side. Honorable Groenewald.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm Harun Groenewald, member of the committee and representing the Northwest Province.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Zola Lenzana, representing the interests of the province of the Eastern Cape.
Good morning. I'm Aliyah Gwebo. I'm the committee secretary. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Rusela Jacobs, representing the Free State. Member of the committee.
Morning, everyone. I'm Jimmy Munaheng, and I'm from NEDLAC.
Morning, it's Alistair Smith, NEDLAC.
Good morning, I'm Renal Martins, and I'm from UFA Committee.
Good morning, honourable members. I'm Freddie Peterson from the Department of Labour, and I'm also serving on the Audit Committee of NEDLAC.
Good morning, Temuco Simkali, the Department of Labour.
Morning, it's Nola Mitoda from two committees.
Morning, honourable members. It's Kola Mnene, Parliamentary Liaison Officer, Department of Labour.
Well, my name is Herbert Mkhize. I work in the office of the Minister of Labour.
Hello, Labour.
Can I really say, introduce yourself? Can you just come nearer and tell us who you are and where you're from? Yes, I know, but other people don't. Well, from Department of Labour
Masedi Musima, Department of Labour, Media Liaison.
Wow. Oh, I'm Tumelo Sitola, I'm a technician. I work for Parliament, Foreign and Visiting Unit.
PMG.
My name is Prince Kwaga. I'm from the PMG.
Thank you very much. Now we're going to hand over to NEDLAC. The presentation on the report and financial statement of the of National Economic Development.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, honourable members, and the rest of the esteemed delegations. Madam Chair, if I can just check, we have brought extra copies of the annual report, if any of the members need to, and we can just circulate that. In terms of the brief, as I understand it, we will give an overview of the performance during the 2010-11 financial year, and also give you an overview of the financial situation of NEDLAC. I thought it would be prudent to also talk just in terms of some of the challenges as we see them, and maybe to give members a sense of the strategic priorities that have been discussed going forward as well. And then, Chair, just again by way of introduction, Maybe a bit of a disclaimer. I'm not new, but relatively new. So I am reporting for a year in which I'm not too familiar with the activities during that particular year. So if I can just.
As long as we'll be able to give responses.
I will do my best, which is, and I've also brought with me a very good team, so that if I can't give you the response, I'm going to be looking at them sternly. Thanks, Madam Chair. I think it's perhaps just important, by way of background, to go back to the origins of this institution. In the last couple of months, there have been a lot of reports in the media around the performance of NEDLAC. There's lots of reference to NEDLAC. A lot of it, I guess, not too encouraging. And I think a lot of this is perhaps based on a weak understanding of the institution, of its activities, and of the role that it plays. So I think, Madame, just by way of kicking off, I think is to remind us all of the importance of this particular institution, of its relevance, of its role. And I always find it quite striking to note that the NEDLAC Act was the first piece of legislation that was passed in post-apartheid South Africa. And I think that's very, very significant. And so in many ways, when we judge the organization, when we judge its performance, when we judge its relevance and operation, we're also, I guess, judging South Africa. We're judging ourselves. We're judging our legislative processes. We're judging ourselves as social partners. And I think that reflects the uniqueness of this institution. It is an entity that belongs to all of us. It belongs to organized business. It belongs to organized labor. It belongs to government. And it belongs to the community. And in many respects, the performance, effectiveness, and efficiency of this organization is dependent on the commitment and the capacity of all of the social partners. But having said that, as the Secretariat, we obviously have a very critical role to play. And I, later on in the presentation, we'll talk a little bit about some of the specific operational plans that we have to try and improve on the effectiveness. I don't think it's necessary to go through the legal mandate of NEDLAC. I think we all understand that. Safe to say that I think the founders, the architects, originally anticipated that this body would primarily be functioning on the basis of consensus, and I think it's fair to say that is one of our big challenges still. And it's one of the how do we create an environment, a space, a culture, I suppose, of engaging by way of trying to find solutions to the very serious problems we face as a nation, rather than the characteristic adversarial type of engagement. And I think that remains an ongoing challenge. We've looked at the structure. I think all members are familiar with the way that the chambers operate. We've got the four chambers. And in the performance overview later on, I will talk about give you highlights of some of the activities in each of the chambers, that the Labour Market Chamber, the Trade and Industry Chamber, Public Finance, and the Development Chamber, as well as talk about the other important areas of work, including the Section 77, the socioeconomic dispute program. Madam Chair, I think then perhaps to just go straight into the work programs, if we look at the Labour Market Chamber, there have been a number of activities that have been flagged in the 2010 annual report, and what we have done in the presentation is just to give you a sense of what those issues are, so you have a sense of what the agenda is, then also what were the specific commitments or the status of those particular issues. A number of issues in this chamber have been finalized, but I think it's important to note that since particularly towards the latter part of the 2010-11 year, most of the engagements in this chamber have been taken up by the Labour Market Review, and that's the amendments to four, at least three pieces of labor legislation, including a new bill on employment services, and that has really taken up the energy of social partners and of the chamber. But nevertheless, the chamber has also dealt with, for example, the Decent Work Country program, which is an ongoing program until 2014. And that is really, it's an ILO program, it's a joint program that falls under the auspices of NADLAC. And there's some really good progress there, but again, as I've said, the chamber conveners and the chamber delegates are at the moment preoccupied with trying to finalize the labor market review. Chair, I don't know if you want me to go through each and every one of them, but I think I'll just highlight, just give an overview, and we can come back in questions on the specifics. If we turn to the Training Industry Policy Chamber, Chair, this is probably the most established chamber, and certainly the one that churns out quite a bit of work. It's got a fairly good, I think, way of engagement, and this is just traditional in this chamber. There have been a number of issues that have been dealt with during the financial period under review. The Cooperatives Amendment Bill, that has now been finalized. The Customs Control and Customs Duty Bills, although we had aimed, I think, to have that finalized during the period under review, it wasn't finalized, but it is now close to finalization. The preferential procurement regulations have been finalized. The strategic sessions with the Minister of Trade and Industry, this is also fairly unique to this chamber, where the Minister, on an annual basis, and sometimes twice annually, would sit with the chamber delegates, with the chamber, around his strategic plan. So it's quite a good, I think, mechanism for building closer collaboration and consensus and a better understanding of the overall agenda. Climate Change Green Paper has been finalized. There's a study on the administrative prices, which has been finalized, and that is now forming the basis for further discussion. There has been, in terms of the what we call the SQAM, or the Standards Quality and Accreditation Metrology, this is again an ongoing project of this chamber, but during the period under review, they did finalize the legal metrology policy. The Small-Scale Fishery Bill also was on the agenda for the period under review. This has now also been recently finalized. And then the water quality risks. There's a study that's been commissioned, and this has also been finalized. And later on, when we talk about the Section 77, I will talk about the Section 70 dispute on water quality and water access. And we've just recently had a meeting on that. And this report, I think, is going to become an important basis for discussions in the committee. Then IPAP 2, this again is ongoing engagement around it in the chamber. The ITA Act, although this was on the agenda of the chamber during the period under review, it hasn't really gone anywhere yet. This is now back with the department, and I think we're sort of putting this on ice until we've gotten greater clarity from the Department of Economic Development on how we wish to proceed with this. Chair, then I'll just run through these briefly. These are subcommittees of the Trade and Industry Chamber. FRIDGE is a program of research, and there's been a series of projects that have been finalized during the period under review. And again, this is a project that is funded through the Department of Trade and Industry. In the Development Chamber, Chair, there's a number of, I think, ongoing activities in this particular chamber. I think just to highlight that the public transport discussion was completed. The integrated youth development strategy, that has been completed, but it is now sitting with the management committee of the council. There are some problems. Government is busy reviewing its position. Organized labor have also come back with changes. So we've taken this back to the chamber. We were hoping to have that finalized in the period under review, but it has taken quite a while. The Rental Housing Amendment Bill has now been finalized. And then, Chair, if I can just skip to the higher education and training laws, there are a series of amendments which have been tabled subsequently, but have not been finalized during the period under review. They have now been finalized. Chair, on the public finance and monetary policy work stream, again, most of the activities here are sort of ongoing. There's been a discussion around tax policy, the national budget process, which overlaps with a briefing that we get from the Minister of Finance twice a year. The financial sector charter council, again, this is an ongoing update on and monitoring, if you want, on the activities of the council. And the other issue that was on the agenda of the public finance and monetary policy was a national health insurance. We have recently had a briefing from the Department of Health on the green paper, and it has been agreed that we will elevate this to a management committee task team, in other words, a cross-chamber task team, and we will engage on not on the green paper, but we will wait for the white paper or any further legislative amendments that may arise out of the current consultative process. Chair, then if I could just turn to the management committee task teams. Now again, these are, if you want, transversal committees, where an issue doesn't quite fit into the agenda or the terms of reference of one of the chambers, it is escalated to a management committee task team. The NEDLAC review is an outstanding process. In the year under review, a report was commissioned which basically looked at NEDLAC, its functioning, and made a number of recommendations around how to improve the operation. That report had been finalized, and we are currently in the process of implementing on some of the recommendations from that report. The Energy and Electricity Task Team, which arose out of the 2008 crisis, there's ongoing engagement in this task team currently. They have finalized the integrated resource plan, the strategic plan on electricity. That's been finalized. At the moment, the task team is dealing with the implementation plan of the strategy, as well as dealing with the medium-term risk mitigation strategy. Then in terms of the new growth path, I mean, this is also a fairly unique process, not quite a sort of normal NEDLAC process. It is driven by the Minister Patel through the department, EDD. But there is what's called a NGP leadership process, which involves all of the social partners. And as we all know, this process has recently yielded the four key accords. But there's ongoing discussion within the management committee around how the NEDLAC processes integrate or link in to the NGP leadership process. I mean, that's both a challenge, but I think we also are exploring opportunities to work together and to try and synchronize a lot closer with that process. Then there's the National Project to Reduce Poverty and Equality. Very important task team. Unfortunately, we've not had much progress, and I can't, I'm sad to say, report much progress on that particular matter. Chair, in terms of the Section 77 notice, I'm just going to, we have just reported on the three that applications that we received during the period under review. We have subsequently received a number of other applications which is not in the particular report. So we're really just talking about the ones that we received during the period under review. The water quality one, as I've said, we've just recently had an engagement with the Department of Water Affairs and all of the social partners, and there's been agreement to set up two working groups, and essentially they're working on the issue of access as well as the acid mine drainage problem, and the department has presented an update on developments, and there's also been agreement to set up a third committee around infrastructure. So I think it's been a long time since we've had any engagement on this particular matter, but we've now managed to kickstart some new energy into this process. The electricity tariffs dispute, that is still unfortunately outstanding, and we haven't had much progress on this. We are hoping that through the discussions in the Energy Electricity Task Team that we can make some progress on this matter and get some resolution, or at least find a way of resolving this particular application. Then we also had an application from Solidarity regarding crime, and we have recently written to Solidarity to say that this matter is now long outstanding. They have asked us to put this matter on hold, and we've indicated that you know, our wish is to take this off the agenda now unless they wish to pursue with it. Chair, if we can then turn to an overview of the statement of my financial position. I think just to highlight that there was a deficit for the period under review, but as explained, there was also the period 2010-2011, and the preceding year was one where there was a number of activities which NEDLAC had to get involved in on an unplanned basis, which sucked out quite a bit of resources. It's also been accepted that I think for a long time the entity has been under-resourced, which has now to a large extent been remedied in the following years. So unfortunately a deficit reported in that particular period. In terms of the audit, NEDLAC received an unqualified audit, but there was an emphasis of matter on two issues. The one was on assets, particularly around the acquisition of the NEDLAC property. And in previous accounting periods, it was accounted for in terms of, not in terms of GRAC 23. And so we needed to remedy that in that particular period. So that 10 million rand needed to be accounted for in a different way. And so there would have been a restatement on the previous year's financials. And then in terms of leave provision, again, there was a provision made for leave which was accounted for in the wrong period. It should have been brought forward. So those are the two issues that were raised by the auditor in the letter, sorry, in the emphasis of matter. In terms of the management letter, there were some issues that were raised which we are giving ongoing attention. One was just in terms of procurement. There was one or two specific transactions where the auditors raised the question mark around the quotes, one of which dealt with a transaction through the Labour constituency. Now, the other unique thing about NEDLAC is that we have constituency allocations. So business, Labour and the community also have budgets allocated for their activities, capacity building activities, and this particular transaction involved a particular conference that Labour held. Subsequently, the invoices were received and presented to the auditors, and that issue was sorted out. But we have decided, Chair, that we need to revamp and review the whole procurement policy and process and controls within the entity, and that's a process that's currently underway. There was also an issue raised around the audit committee, the functioning of the audit committee, in particularly around the frequency of the committee meetings, which the committee had acknowledged. And at the moment, Manco has approved a revamp of the audit committee charter, because it's quite dated as well. And at the moment, the overall conveners are busy considering a revised policy document, where we've also agreed to expand the scope of the audit committee to an audit and risk committee, including ensuring that we have an independent chairperson. And then, Chair, there was an issue around the segregation of duties, and a lot of that revolved around the finance function, and particularly the role of the financial manager. Where it was felt that there was insufficient segregation of duty. And again, there we have taken initial steps to address that issue. We have, for example, switched over from a check system, almost 100% check system, to now an electronic payment system with segregation between processing, loading and authorization. We've also split the finance and the payroll function. We're getting in a new HR coordinator from the 1st of July, so we're splitting payroll. So those kinds of interventions we have already got underway. And Chair, if I can just add that in November, the previous CFO had resigned, and that I think also gave us the opportunity to look at the systems of control in a lot more detail. We are expecting a further report on this in the foreseeable future, but once we get that report, we need to brief the Minister on that, and then we can take that further from there. Chair, then, if we can just turn to the challenges in going forward. As I've said, in the global environment, we all know the triple challenges around poverty and inequality and unemployment. The global economy remains uncertain with a number of risks for the South African economy. And so this creates a very challenging agenda for the NEDLAC social partners and for our legislative processes. The other big challenges revolve around the capacity of the social partners. And here, Chair, one of the things that as I've already alluded to, is just in terms of the way we engage. I think there's a serious challenge on whether we can shift from a more adversarial way of engaging to trying to find greater consensus amongst the social partners. And I think that's going forward over the next strategic period, that's one of the key things that we want to emphasize in terms of the leadership of NEDLAC. How do we change the way we engage so that we are more focused on finding solutions to the problems rather than just being in conflict with each other, or staying quite fast to our constituency positions. Chair, then the other set of problems I think revolves just around poor coordination, and this is an issue I think for government, that there is a lack of coherence and a lack of coordination between the various policy initiatives and the legislative programs, which presents a challenge to the entity. It's also a matter of sequencing. A lot of times, I think the entity is placed under pressure, social partners are placed under pressure in that they are presented with legislation or amendments or policy positions, and they are required to respond or engage in a very short and tight time frame. The other issues revolve just in terms of the capacity of constituencies, in that issues are very complex and constituencies are very stretched, and we depend on a thin layer of experienced negotiators who are not only active in NEDLAC, they're active in other areas. And it's not just an issue that faces community and labor, but I think it also confronts business, that you've got this thin layer of people that are required to be engaging on an almost full-time basis. And in a number of cases, they are not paid for this activity, and yet they also have other issues and other activities that they need to attend to, which is also complicated by the fact that sometimes I think the mandating processes and all of the constituencies can be quite complex and difficult. So these are some of the challenges I think that we have going forward. So I think in terms of our priorities, and I'm just going to move to closure, in terms of our priorities going forward, and let me just say that at the beginning of the year in January, we had a Manco strategic planning workshop where we took a brief review, just a snapshot of where we are, looked at some of the challenges. And the following are some of the priorities that have been agreed. I mean, I think there's broad agreement that we've got to pay greater attention to the leadership and governance of the entity. When we started off this journey in 1995, there was a very strong commitment from leadership in government, in business, in labor, the community, to the entity, to the ensuring that the issues were engaged with at the highest level, ensuring that matters were expedited. expedited. I think over the years we have perhaps delegated a lot of this activity as leaders to a second tier layer of negotiators. So I think there's recognition that as leadership we need to give more attention to the overall strategic direction of the entity. We also need to take more responsibility collectively for the entity. And there's a greater need, I think, to enhance the strategic conversation amongst leadership between the social partners. Our second, and this is where the secretariat, I think, particularly comes in, our second priority is around the core mandate of NEDLAC. This is our core business, where we are always going to be dealing with a legislative program. There's always going to be amendments and new bills and new policy positions that hit our desk, regulations. So how do we, from a secretariat point of view, ensure that we optimize the turnaround times of that engagement? And there we're focusing on our internal processes and systems, but also key here is the NEDLAC protocol. We have a protocol document which is a little bit dated. We're busy revising that now, which sets basically the rules of engagement for how things are submitted, how we engage on, what are the time frames. And I think we need to revamp that. We need to create better commitment from all of the social partners, a better understanding of that. And I think then hold people accountable to the rules of engagement. And then how do we promote social dialogue going forward? And again, your chair, it's about realigning and repositioning the institution and capacitating it in a way that we can be more active in terms of providing information and communicating what is happening within the entity. I mean, there's a lot that is happening all the time, but I think there is a public perception that things just get stuck in this entity. But in fact, there's a lot of work that happens. So it's also our responsibility as the entity to make sure that we communicate this better. I've already talked a bit about the stakeholder capacity budget. But again, I think this is an area where we need to pay some strategic focus to how do we capacitate the constituencies? How do we ensure that the community constituents, for example, are in a position to understand, digest, input on fairly complex policy issues while at the same time being able to get mandates from their constituencies? How do we assist labor, and also how do we assist business? As I said, it's not just an issue for labor and community. Then finally, Chair, we have recognized that there is a need for us to pay specific attention to the development of our staff and also to the upgrading of our systems and processes. And these priorities is obviously built into a business plan, which is in this year's annual performance plan, and we will roll that out over the next 3 years. And Chair, I think just to end off with a couple of quotes, but I think for me the most striking one is that NEDLAC, in a sense, is our, if you want, our sort of people's assembly. And I think there's recognition. There was a breakfast that was held in the Eastern Cape, the New Age breakfast, a couple of months ago, where I think it was a business delegate that asked President Zuma about NEDLAC and the poor functioning, or if you want, the role of NEDLAC, in fact. What's the relevance of this institution? And the response was that from the president was, you should tell me about that because we are all NEDLAC. You are NEDLAC. You as business should know that. And I think that is the starting point, that each of the social partners need to accept that we are all responsible for this entity. And that if we are to remotely come close to dealing with the complex challenges facing our society and our nation, that we've got to begin to work together. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the presentation. As I said, members will determine whether the presentation was satisfactory, or maybe there will be some point of clarification. Honorable Kronewald, Honorable Mlenzana, Honorable Sibande, Honorable Jacobs, in that order.
Thank you, Chin. Yes, it is indeed a wild horse, if I'm listening to you. thank you for the presentation. I think you, but there's a lot of clarity I want from your side. I'll ask questions and then you can just give us the answers. if we are looking into your organogram, I want to know how many vacancies do you still have in your organogram to fulfill each and every section. And the role you are, what you play in, you mentioned the new growth path. I want a bit more from a NEDLAC side. What processes are you involved in the new growth, the national development plan, and the latest one is the youth wage. What role are you playing there? I think if I'm listening to you, you've got a big role to play in this whole situation, because there's at this stage, I do not know, there's a lot of money is lying there, 5 billion rand, and the youth is suffering outside, so we must make a plan. And I think NEDLAC is the organization or entity to do it for us, and to see that we can get this thing on the move, and so that the youth get skilled, and so that they can start doing their own thing on the long term. So I think you've got a big role, and if you can give us a vision from your side, I'll appreciate it. You mentioned that you're also playing a role in water, in the national water. If you are looking into the amendment bill, it is still pending. What I want to know there, and that is also an issue in the latest time, the Karoo, the cracking, what role are you playing in that situation? What role are you playing with the recap program in transport? So that is also a long-term thing. It's going on and on. Do you have a certain role to play as NEDLAC in that situation? Rental housing is also a matter of concern. The amendment bill about housing, human settlement, that is all playing a role with public works. And we've had a meeting yesterday with public works, and they're busy with the asset register. But if I'm listening to them, I do not know if they are going to meet the deadlines. So I also want to know what role are you going to play there. And then you are always in negotiations with different departments and different role players. Do you have really two from NEDLAC side to make a difference into labor and to help our people? I want to know it, because you are a quite new organization or entity, and you must, if you are listening to the president, you had a very big role to play in this situation. So you must go into this negotiations with different parties, and what is the outcome? Is it positive, or are you always fighting, as you said, it's going with fighting all the way? And what advantage in this negotiations with different parties, what advantage get the poor people and the disadvantaged people out of your negotiations? And especially if we are looking, we are looking to our rural people in the rural areas, what role are you playing? And that is the biggest part of South Africa. What role are you playing in these areas? What type of skills are you used in dialogue engagements with other departments? So you must have a certain skill to have success at the end of the day. So what type of skills are you using? Are you making use of consultants? Do you have enough people who've got the skills in your department who can go in and negotiate with people? Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Chair, I've never been in such a difficult position as I am today. Listening to the presentation, I now listen to the questions raised. And, Kadun Kabile, I am busy battling with my mind. Mkalezi, sorry. Mkalezi. I am busy battling here with my mind as to how do I posture in this meeting, understanding where we come from with NEDLAC, because unlike other entities that we usually interact with, this one is an entity born of a political thought. Politically crafted mandate for a purpose post liberation. So, one now, Chairperson, has to be careful. Because I am now an MP. I have to avoid a situation where I see myself as government or as labor. So that's why I'm saying I've never. But I'm asking a question, Chairperson, to NEDLAC, which should be an, if we can get an honest answer. Is NEDLAC, it's a question which needs an honest answer. Particularly to those I know have been with NEDLAC for quite some time. Is NEDLAC still what we envisaged when we established it post-1994? Those from Eastern Cape would remember. I'm proud of saying we initiated this in the Eastern Cape. You will remember we started with something called EXEC. That's where it started. The Eastern Cape Social Economic Council. At the time, Chairperson, I was part of this, serving in the office of the Minister of Education. It had purpose, it had clear purpose. That's why I'm asking this question as to, are we still there? Is there no change? Is there no element now of a big brother, small brother approach in negotiation? I said these questions should be honest when they are responded to, because they would link to a situation where now something funny happens, where you are talking of a problematic social dialogue, which relates to exactly what one would want to the capacity of the social partner. Remember, it was NEDLAC's duty to see to it, Chairperson, that for that particular social engagement to be seen on par, everyone should be skilled, trained, such that when you engage, you engage freely, and you engage with a mind which is well equipped, where at that time we were talking equal partners. Now I'm asking myself, is this the NEDLAC we are talking about? It comes, Chair, to what one would ask, like, when we
tripartite institution. Tripartite in the sense that as we get into the boardroom, we forget that this one is labor, this one is an employee, and this one is government. We are all equal. Are we still there? In terms of collective bargaining, particularly around the economy of the country, if we are honest to ourselves, where do we falter, Chair, such that we see the tripartite not finding each other up to an extent where, even when matters are referred to NECLEC, but they would still remain wanting. I'm trying, Chair, as I said, to be very, very careful when dealing with these issues, because I do not want to be seen to be, because I know the records here. Yeah, people are taking records, and I want to appear as an MP and remain as an MP when dealing with this particular matter, but it is serious. It goes, Chair, to this question of some questioning even the existence of NECLEC. I don't want to say such questions are reactionary. I wouldn't dare say that. But those of us who have been in these institutions whose existence would be questioned, because we are saying now it is democracy, we are fine. I would just, you know, to make a learning chairperson deliberately refer to what is happening in education. It started like this, because we had the NECC, and all of a sudden we disbanded all those structures of the NECC and said, it is now time for democracy, all is well. But now where are we? Are these discussions that we are now opening, as far as NECLEC is concerned, not leading to that there would be a perpetual rift now between the labor and business, a perpetual rift between the labor and government? I'm raising this deliberately, understanding the position where I'm sitting. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, I wanted to apologize to you in particular and the committee as well. You know very well that we are committed. Okay, thank you, ma'am, to cover me. I was worried. I'm doing just a self introspection. I'll start by commenting. You see, my understanding that is that NECLEC was established with the purpose. I'm asking a question, whether are we still on the right track or not? And then I'll ask this another question, which is very small. I won't elaborate more, but I'll be giving you an opportunity to just elaborate, because as we're here, we're expecting you to empower us in order to plow back to you. In terms of negotiations, if maybe you can clarify us whether do you have any deadlocks. You know, I am raising, sometimes it's very disturbing at the end, when during the times of disagreement, where people are pointing a finger at, hey, it's you, didn't negotiate this, it's you, it's done, 1, 2, 3. Because my concern is one, is the image of the country more than anything. I will repeat again. My concern is the image of the country more than anything. Right. Another question is that I'll go to page vice versa, page 21 and page 20. In challenges, I was leaving nervous when you were talking about challenges which you're facing as NEMLEC. You spoke about very broad offices, okay? Very complicated. You spoke about the mandate where I had a problem. A mandate and also people not being paid. I don't know whether to attend meetings and the like. Then it boils back to 20 where I'm concerned about the audit findings. Whether those things, does they have anything or impact in terms of the auditing? In this sense, I'll start by, you indicated that the CEO resigned. Why? The CFO, thank you for correcting, the CFO resigned. Was he forced, was whatever? And did that particular person, he or she, be given an opportunity to account first before you resign? Because there is a trend in some institutions where people, towards the accounting, it seems they resign. Because at this moment, our laws, I think they are very weak. We can't follow up a person when he resigns. When he resigns, resign. When you start to account, if there is a whatever, it's gone, it's gone. That's why I'm asking why he or she resigned. And then another question is that you spoke about, in terms of the internal control and auditing, the findings, if maybe you can clarify it, because in terms of the audit and the findings, they find out the issue of non-compliance. That means, in terms of the leadership did not exercise the correct oversight or responsibility regarding the compliance with the law and regulations. That is the implication, that somebody supposed to account didn't do his or her work. Where is the problem? And then again, the issue of the issue of auditing that were not, what can I say? That were not in accordance as required by Section 55(1A) and 51(b) of the PFMA. That was the comment from the auditing. That's what they picked it up. That some people didn't follow the procedures as guidelined by the PFMA in terms of Section 55(1A) and 1B. Why did that thing happen? And then lastly, ma'am, you see, which is worrying me, because the issue, that's why I've started by mandate and some of the things that some people don't follow their own responsibilities, whether in the institution, whether the, whatever the people from the network, who constitute the audit committee to avoid commanding a meanwhile. You know, who constitute it? I'll put it there at this moment.
Thank you, Honorable.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just to add what Honorable Mvenzan has said, I just want to check why is NEMLEC have not achieved more consensual engagements? But rather it's adversarial engagements. I'm raising this issue concerning the issue of labor brokering. It is quite clear there are no consensus there, the way it is, because now they want us parliament to come in, because there should be a product which comes out of NEMLEC, which it is a product of consensus. And I'm not sure. That's why Lazana said, is NEMLEC still relevant? If issues that comes out of NEMLEC, they need us to be dealt with, because if there are consensus, they make our work easier in parliament. But now they want us to take sides when it comes to parliament. And we don't want to take sides. The other one, under Section 77, notice, you talked about the applicant was an organized labor on the issue of water quality. And you say it's still under consideration. I don't know why it did the delay. Because the issue of water, it is of importance to our communities. And most of the social disturbances that are occurring in the location, it is through water, shortage of water, infrastructure, and so on. To me, I think it should have been prioritized. And that the other one that I want to, under management committee testing, the issue of national project to reduce poverty and inequality. And seemingly, also there's no progress. Can we get clarity? Why is it installed? Because I think these issues are crucial to the people. So they need to get the highest priority. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mine is on the board. Can you clear outline to us who are the people who serve on the board? And then the other one, NEDLEG, I think the organizations that serves in NEDLEG. For example, you said you spoke of constituencies, community constituencies. How often do you really make sure that those organizations are still existing? Because you can say you have this organization, and whereas you have Mrs. Temba alone still existing in that organization. If you can clarify to us, how do you make sure that those people sitting representing the other organizations that forms part of NEDLEG, those organizations are still up and running? How do you make sure? If you can just, for example, okay, COSATU, we see COSATU is always active, we see COSATU.
Yes.
The others, for example, Women's National Coalition. If you can just clarify us, who's still in those organizations? Maybe Priscilla has been there forever. Honorable Mlenzana said, you must be honest. We want you to be honest with us. Otherwise, if maybe there's a need to make an inspection of this organization that serves in NEDLEG, there must be a way of doing that. We've got a report to consider. If you are not honest with us, we won't consider this report, and we will say to Parliament, we couldn't, because we feel this doesn't reflect the truth of what it should be reflecting. What has happened with the arrears, rentals for proudly South Africa. Yeah. And then I had this other one also on I think Honorable Groenewald, if I'm not mistaken. Honorable Groenewald has asked it, but there's this other one on protocol, the NEDLEG protocol, that is outdated. By when do you think you're going to really give yourself time and see whether you amend this? And I've looked at this NEDLEG Act, when you started, you said it's for 1994. But can we really look at it and see? Because 1994, when we came in, we were still new in the democratic. And then as time goes on, it's now 18 years. Is it still serving the purpose, or is there anywhere where it needs amendment? Are you still happy with it as NEDLAC? Are you still happy with it? Or do we have to amend it? And the other thing, the bills that goes to NEDLAC, I'm worried that they really take a long time. You know, they take too long in NEDLAC. You know, a term is 5 years. And if a bill goes to NEDLAC and stays maybe for how many years, then the term gets finished before we pass those bills. And then when we go, other people comes in. You know, it doesn't look like as members we you are delaying the purpose as NEDLAC. We as parliament, we want to see progress, and if you keep these bills there by NEDLAC, trying to, that's why I'm asking the question of, are there organizations, real organizations, or are there individual people in NEDLAC pretending to be those other organizations? We will come back.
Any response? Thanks, Madam Chair. Let me just firstly acknowledge and appreciate the questions. I may miss out one or two, but I think if you rely on you, just to bring me back on track.
No, you've got your team. You are there to assist.
Chair, maybe I'll just start with some of the easier ones. In terms of your question around the arrears rental from PSA, that issue has been addressed. George, don't you want to just respond to that then?
$832,000 were written off. No, your mind. Of the 2010 money, and the rest of the money was paid, and it's at the current year end, it's $43,000 right off the bat. I've been paying their money nicely for the past 2 years.
If you can raise your voice,
okay.
Members are listening. You're not talking to me only, but raise your voice so that everyone can.
All right.
Know what you're saying.
I'll repeat that. There was 832,000 rand written off of the 963,000 rand in rent receivable from Proudly South Africa. And then the 135,000 rand of 2011, 43,000 is unpaid.
Chair, then, if I can just turn to, I think the questions raised by Honourable Sibanda. In terms of the audit committee, the audit committee is composed of a representative from government, from the Labour constituency, from the business constituency, and from the community constituency. Then the ED sits on the, and the CFO sits on the committee ex officio. I think one of the difficulties has been that we've never had an external or independent chairperson, and that the charter of the audit committee was not updated on a regular basis. That issue has now been addressed, as I've said. There's been agreement that the composition of the audit committee be clarified, the way they are
selected to be strengthened in the new charter, that an external independent chairperson be allowed for, and also that there's a regular review. So the functioning of the committee has been strengthened through the new charter, as well as expanding the scope to include risk assessment. And that process is underway. A draft charter has been developed. It's been circulated to all of the constituencies, and it was agreed at the last MANCO, which we had in May, that at the next MANCO, which is the next board meeting, that this charter should be signed off at that particular meeting. Chair, in terms of the issue around the CFO, I must say that when I came in, I looked at the audit report and obviously had fairly robust engagement with the CFO, and we were beginning to, I mean, the Finance Committee had also raised issues around some of the internal controls. We started tightening up on some of them, sort of, for example, some questions that we started raising with them. In that process, the CFO decided to resign. Obviously, there's still an issue around accounting. As I've said, we are investigating further in that, to look into the controls, and once we get that report, I think we can communicate more clearly. But at the moment, that investigation is still underway. The report hasn't been finalized. Once it's finalized, we need to brief the minister, and then we can brief the committee further. Chair, in terms of, I think the issue that has been raised around, I mean, the number, if I can maybe just come back to your question around the board of NEDLAC. NEDLAC, as you know, is composed of the various constituencies. So you've got the overall conveners. There's one convener from government, from labor, from business, and from the community. Then each of the chamber conveners from each of the constituencies. So for each of the constituencies, for each of the chambers, you have business, labor, and government, except for the development chamber, where you also have a community convener. So the conveners of the various chambers also sit on the board. So to answer your question, essentially it is the social partners that make up the board. So from a governance perspective, I suppose, and maybe this comes back to your question around what do we need to change in the original act, I think we need to review the question of governance. And I think it's something that we find not just in an entity like NEDLAC, but we see it in entities like the CETUS, for example, or even the bargaining councils, where you have social partners who are involved in the cut and thrust of the engagement and the negotiations, who also are responsible for the governance of the entity and the institution. I think it makes for complex dynamics in terms of the governance. So I suppose if you want to do a sort of review of the governance and the operation of the entity, that would be one of the things perhaps to look at. So from our learnings, for example, in terms of the audit committee, one of the learnings is that we need to perhaps get an arm's length distance from between the representatives and the various committee, and it helps to have an external chairperson in. So I think the board, by and large, the management committee works well, I suppose, except when there's an issue that is quite contested or controversial between the stakeholders, then you're going to have a bit of a difficulty. So again, and I think this spills over into the agenda. I mean, when we say that things get blocked or delayed or locked up in NEDLAC, it depends on the issue again. I think we find, for example, I've mentioned the Trade and Industry Chamber, where there's actually a high degree of cooperation in the chamber. And if you look at the list of bills and policy proposals that gets agreed there, it's actually quite astounding. So I should also be careful not to generalize that. But for example, if you take a different chamber like the labor market chamber, where you're dealing with an issue that is at the heart of centralized bargaining, and we know the history of collective bargaining in this country is highly adversarial. So I think it's almost natural that you would expect that issue is going to be highly contested and therefore could be something that will be delayed as it is hotly engaged and quite adversarial. So it depends on the issues. Which is why I think when we look at the labor market review and specifically the negotiations around the labor poaching issue, around the amendments to the Labor Relations Act as well as the Basic and Conditions Employment Act, it cuts to some of the core issues that has been at the heart of the debate in terms of collective bargaining for a while. And unfortunately, those issues have become politicized. And so I think we focus on some of these issues. They get a high-profile attention. And we also know you're now dealing with social partners that have the ability to make their voices heard on particular issues. So I would also say that it depends on the kind of issue that's raised. Having said that, there are other issues in the labor market chamber, for example, around the decent work program, that lend themselves to greater cooperation between the social partners. Chair, then maybe if I can also deal with your question on the representativity issue. I think that's another one where perhaps we want to maybe do some kind of review. And again, I think I can have an opinion as the Secretariat. But, you know, when we say what does NEDLAC think of this, we're talking essentially four social partners. And you may get five different or six different or seven different opinions on a particular issue. And that's, I suppose, the uniqueness of what we're dealing with. But my sense is that it is, I think, important to take the point that you raised on board, that there should be from time to time a process where we review the membership and perhaps the representativity and ask ourselves at a basic level, are we still representative? Or also a different question, are there other interests and other voices that need to be brought on board to deepen, I think, and to live up to the original aspirations of the Founding Act? So I think it is important that we perhaps have that kind of review. But it has to be a collective review. And to some extent, in terms of our strategic goal on page 24, where we talk about effective leadership and governance, it is to say, for the next 3-year period, I'm trying to set myself a time frame, I'll say 3 years, well, actually now with the new changes in Treasury, it's 5 years, but with the next 5-year period, can we address some of these issues? So at a leadership level, how do we deal, for example, with some of the issues that has been raised by the Honourable Member around the leadership, both the commitment and the capacity? Can we deal with issues around governance and perhaps say other ways in which we bolster the governance structures? Because it has been a long time, I think, since we've had the Act. I mean, the Act, for example, still talks makes reference to the Minister without portfolio. In some instances. I mean, those are some of the obvious things I think that needs to change. So my sense is there may well be a need for some kind of fresh up, if you want, of the original Act. Then I think, Chair, to come to some of the more tricky questions that both Honourable Member Nanzana and Groenewald have raised, around the adversarial engagements, I think to some extent I've tried to say, you know, yes, I think one of the challenges is that we have a legacy of adversarialism in our industrial relations framework and collective bargaining that we've inherited. And a lot of the strong players in the entity operate within that particular space. I think it's in a way obvious that a lot of that adversarialism is inherited. I think there's also another function in terms of what's happening in the economy. And I think things have become a lot more difficult. I think as unemployment increases, as the precariousness of work increases, as competitive pressures on firms increases, the likelihood for conflicts arise. And I suppose it's exactly now the challenge that faces us as social partners is, can we rise above those inherent tensions and find creative and constructive ways and solutions to it. But then I've also said there are other examples, like for example in the training industry chamber, where stakeholders actually do cooperate. And for example, there was recently the example of the ISMO bill, where there was a strong effort from everyone to expedite the particular issue, and there was an appeal made by the minister. And I think parties put in an extra effort, and that issue was expedited. There was also the recent finalization of the fisheries policy. So there are examples, I think, where social partners work together. You can sort of harness the energy, and you can get them to expedite issues. But there are also those issues that are a bit more complex and a bit more controversial. And I don't, to be honest, I don't have the answer to that. I think we need to perhaps also be cautious in terms of not seeing social dialogue as the sort of silver bullet or panacea for everything in South Africa. I think we do go through particular phases. And I think one of the things we also find is that what happens in the broader political environment also has a spillover effect. And I think we know that at the moment we're going through a fairly turbulent period politically, which has a spillover effect. So as you move through those particular periods, things begin to settle down. I think another issue which Honorable Nzana has spoken to, as well as Honorable Groenewald, speak to the issue of vision and leadership. And I think this is perhaps where, when we look at the entity over the past years and try and ask ourselves, is it still relevant? Does it still have a role? I mean, I think one would be hard-pressed, honestly, to find someone that will say, no, it doesn't have a role. I think we all accept that to find solutions to South Africa's problems, we need to sit around the table, we need to dialogue, we need to find constructive ways and consensual ways of moving forward. I think everyone that is of sober mind will recognize that. I suppose the real question is, how do we make that more effective? Partly it's because we desire that so much that I think we're frustrated. And so I think it's quite legitimate to ask of an entity like NEDLAC, like, what can you do to promote that particular dialogue? And I'm saying, if we just step back to sort of 94, 95, at that time we were all inspired by a grand vision called the Reconstruction and Development Program. And that vision is what drove this particular entity, and I think what drove a lot of the work and energy and momentum within the first couple of years of this entity. And we know that things change, the global environment change, the political conditions change, the vision started blurring perhaps a bit. And so we are struggling, I think, as a nation to reconfigure that national plan. This also has an impact on the entity. In some ways, we're a bit off balance. And so I think it's important that we ask these questions, but I think we must ask these questions in such a way that we don't put at risk the babies that we've created. You know what I'm saying? And I suppose your question is, how do we nurture these entities? How do we make them grow? And again, I'm saying, I don't think I have the one answer. I think you are absolutely right in saying, let's have frank, open conversation. But I think it's about having frank, open conversation amongst all of the social partners. And what can we do as the Secretariat to promote that frank and open conversation? Chair, I think there was also the questions that Honorable Groenewald has raised about, again, do you have teeth in the negotiations? How do you keep the departments on board? And then in terms of the agenda around pro-poor, and I think, again, the pro-poor agenda is an important agenda. I think we've got to constantly ask ourselves that particular question. I am struck and certainly personally have taken it up with over a convenience, for example, that the discussions on the anti-poverty strategy have just kind of hung in limbo. Yet there are other processes that we spend a lot more time and energy on. So I think it's absolutely right that we ask these particular questions. Maybe at some point I think we need to do a complete review of what has been achieved. And I think over the years we've achieved quite a lot. I mean, NEDLAC has impacted quite significantly on the overall legislative and institutional landscape of this country. And maybe we need to get into conversation about how do we measure this, a bit like how do we measure Parliament and the performance of Parliament, because you're talking about a kind of social Parliament here. How do we measure the impact of the legislation and the policy and the engagements that we... And I think that kind of measurement is a difficult one. And perhaps in the first couple of years, it was about setting the kind of institutional legislative framework for development, but... maybe we need to begin to shift the emphasis in terms of the agenda. In terms of the role of the departments and what do we do in terms of cooperating with the departments, I think that's a very important challenge, which brings us to the protocol document. I think that one of our failings is that we haven't, ensured adherence of all social partners and accountability to the protocol document. And that document basically would prescribe how do you table issues. So for example, one of the issues that we've discussed now is what's the role of NEDLAC when it comes to green paper process? Because a green paper process is very much a working document. It's subject to change and its rationale is to elicit a public participation. So does NEDLAC then duplicate that particular process? And how do you build that into the protocol document? So at what stage do you actually start intervening? Do we want to get involved, for example, in terms of consideration of particular regulations? Again, what's the guidelines? How do you define that? Because I think one of the challenges, in as much as I think there's a lot of delays in things, one of the challenges also is that our agenda has become so, it has expanded so much, that there's so many things. And in a sense, everyone wants you to do everything. And so we've got to find some way of creating a filter or a mechanism for disciplining that agenda. And so if we say poverty, inequality, unemployment is our core agenda as a nation, how do we structure our engagement around those particular issues, I think is a very valid question. So the protocol document, I think, is quite central. I think one must acknowledge that in terms of the support, certainly at ministerial level, my sense is that there is unquestionably support at ministerial level for the entity. We, by and large, have good support from ministers. I use this example. For example, in the period that I've been there, the couple of months I've been there, the Minister of Finance has been to NEDLAC thrice. Minister of Energy Affairs. I mean, so the ministers actually realize the value of the entity. I think sometimes where we struggle perhaps is at the sort of senior civil servant level. And again, I think that's not necessarily because they're wanting to bypass the institution. I think a lot of times it's just a function of the kind of constraints that they operate under. And so there are issues in government that I think needs to be addressed in terms of coherence and coordination. But for me, I think if we get agreement around the protocol document, the rules of engagement, that certain processes will govern certain types of issues, and you set timeframes to those, then I think we can begin to be a lot more effective. So just going back to the basic rules of engagement of the negotiation. One of, I suppose, the other issues that has come out of the original OD report was that we need to examine our capacity as a secretariat, I think, to facilitate this process. And I think that's where we acknowledge we've got a weakness and that going forward we need to beef up that particular capacity. And perhaps also to begin to rely more and more on the support of external resources, external facilitators to support some of the negotiation processes. So that's also something that we are looking at and that has been built into our plans. In terms of the organogram, at the moment we have a staff complement of 24. We intend to ramp that up to 27. I didn't include the organogram. I wasn't anticipating a question on that, but I can send that to you. And we, as of the 1st of July, we are employing a programs director, which is essentially a kind of operations manager to drive the chamber work. And that's been a big gap over the years. The other gaps have also been around communications and around some of the research work. So we are plugging those particular vacancies, and that is, from my point of view, been a priority. In terms of...
When you send the organogram to us, indicate the gender, how many women, how many men?
Yes, I think we'll give a complete breakdown in terms of the equity report, perhaps. Then, Honourable Grunewald, your questions around the NGP process, and I think, there's an ongoing, as I say, ongoing link with that leadership process. The focus originally had been around the accords, and one of the things was that perhaps we're looking at some kind of a jobs accord, but that's in a sense the holy grail of social dialogue, is can we get a social accord where we get specific hard trade-offs around prices, wages, inflation, but I think there's recognition that perhaps that kind of conversation is a bit premature. On the other hand, I think the discussions have shifted to the infrastructure build, and I think that's the priority now. And so, as far as I know, there hasn't been any further meeting scheduled of that NGP leadership process, but we're watching that process very closely. We're in constant contact with the department around that particular process. We've also agreed, for example, that the infrastructure rollout program would be placed on the agenda of the next executive committee, where we will ask relevant ministers to come and brief the social partners on it, because there's a number of concerns that social partners have raised, but also ideas about how collectively we can support that process and make that process work. As far as the youth wage subsidy issue is concerned, I was hoping you're not going to answer me asking that question. But yes, I think it's true to say that the issue has been on the NEDLAC's agenda for a long time. The irony is that in the last couple of months, actually since January, there has been quite a bit of momentum within NEDLAC around this, where both the Department of Economic Government as a whole, so it wasn't just one section of government who made a proposal, but government as a whole coming together and saying, look, what do we do? It's not so much just about one particular instrument, but it's about the core problem of youth unemployment and can we have a comprehensive strategy to confront youth unemployment? And I think that shifted the engagement quite a bit. And so we've agreed on various processes, but unfortunately that was overtaken by events. The issue now has become a bit more politicized and a bit more difficult. So yes, I think everyone agrees that youth unemployment is a very, 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 very serious problem for South Africa. It should be at the heart of our agenda to create jobs. But I think there's also agreement that we need to have a comprehensive strategy and that we need interventions that are going to work in the short term. So in a sense, the youth wage subsidy issue may have become a bit of a red herring because it's now become politicized. But at the last management committee, again, it was agreed that we need to escalate this conversation to a leadership level. So we've taken it out of the task team. So we're probably just going to be wasting time at the task level. We've got to get all of the, at leadership level, all of the social partners together to address a way forward on this issue. And that's something that's on my agenda for the next month or two. Madam, if I can just finish off perhaps on, I think the notes I made on Honorable Groenewald's interventions. In terms of fracking, no, it's not on the agenda at the moment. The water amendment bill, as I've said, that issue came onto the agenda via the Section 77 application. So it's actually a protest, an application for protest action around the issue. It has been on the agenda for a long time. It's been dormant for a number of reasons, and I think one of the big reasons just being that from the Department of Water Affairs, they've been working on sorting out their strategy, which I understand is now almost complete. And as I said, we had this meeting, it was 2 days ago, and actually they reported quite a bit of progress in terms of, one, just in the short term, responding to the acid mine drainage problem, particularly in the Western Basin where there's already a decanting. So the application was around the acid mine drainage, as well as access to water. And there, one of the concerns is just around the role of municipalities in terms of also the effluent management and waste management, and the risk of the cost of water increasing both for consumers as well as industry. And so they've agreed that we need to resuscitate that particular committee within the next month. Chair, I think that deals with most of the questions that I've got.
Any addition, Mr. Mkali, please? Okay. Member?
Okay. Just one question, Chairperson. Yeah, I was busy perusing my papers here. Yeah. I forgot the agenda, Chairperson. My question is, Who is sitting in front of us? Because from a NEDLAC point of view, once more, those who have been in NEDLAC for some time would understand why I'm asking. Who are you? Are you the secretariat?
Okay.
When you are talking the secretariat, are you talking secretariat outside the social partners? Can it happen that in this meeting there is one or two social partners who are not part of this meeting? If yes, why?
Can you respond to that?
Yes, Chair. I am Alistair Smith, the executive director, so I'm part of the secretariat. Tumi Munacheng is also part of the secretariat, so now also part of the secretariat. Mr. Freddie Peterson, who is from the Department of Labor, who is a member of the audit committee, and as you know, Mr. Tembe Nkosi Mkhalipe, who is from the department, but also convener in the labor market chamber. We have extended an invitation to the other social partners, and my apologies, Chair, I should have in the beginning just mentioned that. But because of the ILO conference in Geneva, a number of the overall convener for government as well as labor is tied up in that conference in Geneva, so they can't be here today.
Last follow-up, Chair. Can we then take it, Chair, as an omission when dealing with apologies? That it was an omission that you forgot to apologize for labor. I am specifically looking at labor. Labor. As part of the social partners, because we don't want a situation here where as parliament we would be dubbed as have discussed issues, agreed on issues, clapped hands saying we are satisfied with issues, only to find that there is a particular social partner whose crime why I'm pinning down on this, and I need it to go on record. Like for instance, one would have a question. Do you want to tell me that is everybody in labor in Geneva such that when that particular Jali is in labor, is in Geneva, then nobody else can come? We have to be clarified, because we are here, and we have to answer these questions when we go out there. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, Chair. Just a follow-up on what Honorable Langzan has said. Does it mean when you call NEDLAC, all social partners should be part of this meeting? Or is it just their management? That's another clarity.
Do you want
to clarify
Can you clarify that? Because I think that this is actually in line with the question that I asked earlier on, to say the organizations that are here, that forms part of NEDLAC, if Priscilla is not there. You know, Priscilla is representing a certain constituency. So if Priscilla is not there, then nobody else will represent that particular constituency or structure. So can you respond to that? Because I'm looking at, this is NEDLAC. This is NEDLAC sent to us by you. So if you come here, and then how many are you? It's only the two of you, and Mr. Peterson is audit committee. But all of these people, can you respond?
Yes, Chair. I think firstly, in terms of the apologies, we should maybe just record it as an omission. We did invite the overall conveners to come. And as I've said, they've indicated that, I mean, both Mr. Ketrodas and Ms. Nchalinchali is in Geneva. I think that's perhaps one of the things we need to take up, is that we need to have alternates to the overall conveners. There's a lot of responsibility on the overall conveners, but I suppose that is a gap in the process. And then to take back the message that, and I suppose this is an issue around, you know, who is NEDLAC. NEDLAC is not just the secretariat, but certainly to take back the message from the committee that it is important that when we engage with this committee or any other committee, that it's not just the secretariat, but that social partners be adequately represented, which is why you have the overall conveners for that purpose.
For government, I'm acting in the place of absence of less. And I'm here representing government as the overall convener for government. I take the other constituencies maybe should have done the same. That's the issue that the members are raising.
That's what we are saying. That's why I didn't mention you, Mr. Mkali, because definitely we see you as representing government. And that's why I said Mr. Peters is from the audit committee, but if we invite you so that we hear from all these organizations, then you must inform them. How are you now going to report back to them that you were in parliament? You were in parliament and this is what was raised. Because if I represent a structure in a particular forum, after the meeting, I must go down to my organization and report back. So if in your meeting, I think that's why things are holding on for a long time in NEDLAC, because maybe today it's me, then next meeting I don't attend, then when I come back, then I take, you know, the proceedings back. You see, so those things, those little things, you must really look at.
Okay. Wait a second.
Okay.
Very well covered on what was raised by my colleagues from this side. Yes, Mama, I think that's why, maybe that's why to me it formed part of your challenges that you said the thing which I raised earlier on, that is very broad, very complicated, all the stuff. Maybe that you meant this exactly. Because now our concern is clear. We don't want to leave any stone unturned. Because next time we'll be accused that you are biased. You don't take this and this and this. And I hope and I believe the same approach you are doing unto us is the very same delegation you are sending to the NA. That was the comment.
I think next time what will happen, the next time we meet with NEDLAC, we will go to a central place, maybe in Joburg, so that we meet all these people, all this organization. I think it's important that we will get information or from, we must interact with everyone. I mustn't represent my own jacket. Yes, we will make sure that we come. I think for today, members, I can say we have interacted, and I'm going to read the report. And then we're going to put NEDLAC on our program, that we're going to make a follow-up and, interact with them, see all this NCASA, Mbobusa, SAYC, Women's National Coalition. Okay, the report of the Select Committee on Labor and Public Enterprises. That the report and financial statements of National Economic Development and Labor Council, NEDLAC, for 2010 to 2011, including the report of the independent auditors on the financial statements and performance information for 2010-2011, dated 6 June 2012. The Select Committee on Labor and Public Enterprises, having considered the report and financial statements of National Economic Development and Labor Council, NEDLAC, for 2010-2011, including the report of the independent auditors on the financial statements and performance information for 2010-2011 referred to it, reports that it has concluded its deliberations thereon. Any mover? Honorable Grunewald.
I second.
Honorable Lenzen seconded. Thank you very much. The meeting stands adjourned. But you must...